The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Editor's Letter. As Denise Williams says in her 1984 hit song, Let's Hear It for the Boy, Essence has always been about serving up all the appeal our fine black men have to offer. Just flip to the back of the book to revisit our April 2003 cover if you need a sweet reminder. This year is no different. This past February, as I sat down to enjoy the Rihanna Bowl, I found myself unexpectedly rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles, a tough feat for a New York Giants fan. There were two starting black quarterbacks in the game, but one of them commanded my attention for a few reasons. When Jalen Hurts takes off his helmet, it's hard not to stare, mouth agape. But beyond the fact that he looks so good it hurts, the 24-year-old Houston native is deeply clear about his connection to black culture and his relationship with black women. In the article, Jalen Hurts has touched down, my dear friend Danielle Smith talks to the Philly quarterback about how he got to the biggest game day of his life and the black women who helped him get there and beyond. We also spend time with some dynamic screen kings steaming things up in Hollywood, and we honor iconic men like human rights activist Malcolm X with a deeply personal essay written by his daughter, and the brilliant rapper and poet Tupac Shakur through a reflection on his complicated relationship with his mother. And if rapper Jadakiss didn't steal our hearts enough during his epic verses battles, his new family business venture is just the pick-me-up we all need. This issue is the perfect birthday gift for black women as we celebrate 53 years since we first hit newsstands in May 1970. Fellas, we've got you covered too. From how to safely grow your hair back if you don't want a balding, to scents that will make your partner swoon. Don't sleep on the scents, sisters. Check them out for your sales. Because as rapper Coi Leray put it, girls is players too. The next article is titled The Flyest Fly on the Wall. On the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, celebrity stylist, designer, and image consultant Mike B. reflects on his fashion innovations through the years. The prolific career of Mike Barnett, also known as Mike B., shows no sign of slowing down. Currently a stylist for the hip-hop group De La Soul, he's come full circle on his fashion journey. He got his start at music mogul Sean Diddy Combs' Bad Boy Entertainment in the 1990s, where he shadowed his mentor Groovy Lou, who was known for dressing talent like Notorious B.I.G., Usher, and Outkast. Mike B. soon became an in-house stylist for Bad Boy and a personal liaison to Diddy himself. Calling on his sense of New York street style, he worked with stars from basketball player Carmelo Anthony to rapper G Herbo, building an A-list client roster. Now having established longevity in the industry, the icon can see the influence of some of his early work on newcomers to the field. In celebration of the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, Essence caught up with Mike B. about his most memorable moments. Essence asks the question, tell us about your early experiences and traveling the world for the business. Mike B. responded, thanks to Puff Puff and Groovy Lou for taking me along on this journey with them. I wouldn't even say that I was like a stylist then. I was more of an assistant and an intern. So it was more me just watching what was going on and learning. I like to call myself the flyest fly on the wall. I was watching things come to fruition, and at the same time as I'm watching Puff's evolution of taste in fashion and Groovy's taste in fashion and style changes, I too am growing. And I'm taking bits and pieces of everything that I'm seeing. Essence asked another question. Do you remember the time when everything shifted forward? Mike B. responded, the first time when I was working at Bad Boy Entertainment and becoming the in-house stylist for the second generation of Bad Boy artists, whether it was Mace or Shine and Loon and Black Rob and G. Dep, it was a moment that I didn't really take in at the time because I was still hustling. Groovy outgrew the company and moved on, so it kind of positioned me, put me in place to go from being his assistant to finally being recognized. The second phase, I would probably say, was when Puff actually decided to, not even decided, it just organically happened, me becoming his personal liaison. Not even his personal liaison, his personal stylist, his everyday go-to guy. Sometimes I was critiqued as being pigeonholed in this box where people felt like all I knew was just Bad Boy artist. And people didn't understand that it wasn't about being pigeonholed as being this Bad Boy stylist. If you look into the lens, each artist is their own character, and they have their own personality, and their own style of music, and their own taste, their own sense of fashion. Lo and behold, here you have Puff, who's like 21 different characters, where he's the producer, he's the rapper, he's the philanthropist, he's the marathon runner, he's the everyday man. Essence asked another question. What was the next phase of your career after leaving Bad Boy? He responded, that was a big aha moment when I left Bad Boy and moved on to working with Pitbull and T-Pain and Yo Gotti and the Chris Browns and the Carmelo Anthonys and the D-Wades. People were starting to call me to help them with their artist, to build an image for them through fashion. So now I am being recognized as this guy who knows how to be an image consultant and create a style for these individuals. Essence asks the question, do you remember what year that was? Mike B. said, this was the year of Hurricane Katrina. To be honest with you, this is how I remember what year it was. It was the same weekend that Kanye had a party, and I think Suge Knight shot himself by accident. Essence asks the next question, have you seen some of your influence from when you first entered the industry in your clients today? Mike B. said, absolutely. Take, for instance, something like Juicy J in the Stay Fly video when he had on the black t-shirt with the lime green with the fluorescent green skulls all over his shirt. Or you see a brand like Supreme, who will take that look and turn that into an entire collection for Gen Pop, right? But I don't even know. I asked myself, do y'all even know where it came from? Do y'all know where that print started? I was running late. I was on my way to the video shoot for Stay Fly. I didn't know, I wasn't sure what I was going to put on Juicy J that day. I mean, for that look, I had other options, but I just wasn't comfortable with what I had. And I just happened to be driving by the store with my cousin, Young Juan. I see this t-shirt in a tourist store. I'm on Ocean Drive for $7.99. And then there's the Versace video. What's so crazy is that Migos didn't have the budget then. So what did I do? I called my man, Sugar J, who has his own brand called Members Club. And I literally styled that whole video. And I called my man, Mark, the creator also, from LA, who deals with a lot of vintage stuff. And I literally styled that entire video with those guys from their closets. Essence asks the next question. From vintage and archive pieces? Mike said, and they had beautiful vintage dope pieces. Essence asks the question, who would you say has most influenced your career? Mike B. responded, well, my first two influences were my mother and father. They taught me and my brothers and my sister how to dress for different ambiances. Later on, I'm not going to lie to you, but my influences started to become the street hustlers. Those turned into my fashion superheroes after a while. Watching these guys get out their car and they've got on these velour sweatsuits that match the interior of their car. I'm from an era of fashion when it was more about individuality of style in hip hop, and all of that played into what I created. The next article is titled, Authenticity Will Always Be in Style. These visionaries are at the forefront of Black design, pushing the boundaries of inclusivity. 3 years after the racial reckoning that spilled onto the streets during the summer of 2020, many brands opened their eyes to the need for representation in all spheres. Not even the predominantly white fashion world is showing signs of moving in a more inclusive direction. Thanks to the efforts of a few heavy hitters within the Black and LGBTQIA+ creative community, licensed collaborations with the estate of legendary artist Jean Michelle Basquiat, for example, are adding excitement and vibrancy to style and carrying the revolution forward. Black LGBTQIA+ visibility is a step the industry needed to take in order to reflect true progress in fashion. But having a Black queer creative in the room is just the beginning. Now we need to acknowledge the importance and amplify the voices of these artists in order to ensure they receive the runway and are given the opportunity to take up space for decades to come. While we honor the trailblazing legacy of Andre Leon Talley and others, we look forward to making room for more brilliant queer talent, and we can celebrate and be inspired by bold trendsetters like Quill Lemons, Connie Fleming, Andre J, Laquan Smith, Kingsley Jibada Jacin, Chanel Campbell, Amara D. Spain, and Anthony Gregory, to name just a few of the new leaders in Black queer fashion. Quill Lemons, the New York-based photographer, continues to challenge societal norms through his visuals, which question ideas surrounding queerness, masculinity, and race in fashion. With his work featured in publications such as Vanity Fair, Vogue, and the New York Times, Quill Lemons makes his statement through photography. His main goal is to provide a safe space for his subjects to feel visible in society. Connie Fleming, Known as Connie Girl, the Brooklyn native lights up any room with her feisty personality. She started with the drag group Boy Bar Beauties, which fueled her passion for performing and helped her begin transitioning. As a Black trans woman, she's become a true trendsetter, breaking boundaries in her community while modeling with Thierry Mugler and Vivian Westwood. Andre J. started as a vibrant nightlife personality in New York City, but soon became known for their fluid and non-conforming fashion. Their aesthetic and style is heavily inspired by 1960s mod mixed with a hippie flair. They became known for their androgynous look and have appeared in French Vogue and V Magazine photo spreads. Laquan Smith. When Laquan Smith was denied admission to schools like Parsons and the Fashion Institute of Technology, he took matters into his own hands. After forming his own LLC, he realized he didn't have to follow the standard blueprint for fashion design. After debuting in 2013, his brand took off. He has now become a notable designer with clientele from Nigeria to London. Chanel Campbell. Bronx native Chanel Campbell is the secret behind fashion's most mysterious label. She's the head architect of Bed on Water, which has been sported by mega stars like Solange Knowles and Ciara, who flaunt its edgy silhouettes featuring dark, risque graphics with lines featuring oversized sleeves, metallic micro miniskirts, and t-shirts inspired by her own painting collections. Campbell has made her way through the industry by letting her work scream for her. Kingsley G-Bad Egessen. Inclusivity has become the token word in fashion, from runway shows to clothing sizes. But Kingsley has redefined the term in a significant way. His genderless label, K. Insley, has quickly become a six-figure business, capturing the eyes and attention of publications and Lil Nas X. The designer has made his mark by putting a spotlight on Black, queer, and femme bodies, providing them the arsenal to flaunt luxury apparel rather than typical trendy pieces. Imara DeSpain. Victoria's Secret's long-standing decision to make its angels skinny, straight supermodels was contentious. Then Imara DeSpain made history by becoming the brand's first Black trans model to star in its Valentine's Day campaign. She began her rise to fame as a beauty influencer on TikTok, garnering over 700,000 followers, obsessed with her confident yet fiery attitude and lifestyle tips, from viral glams to get ready with me clips. Antoni Gregory. What started as a controversial industry voice on Twitter has turned Antoni Gregory into a fashion phenomenon. Founder of Black Fashion Fair, the genius has created a path for the amplification of Black designers, jewelers, and accessorists, allowing them to be seen and to thrive. Working alongside the hottest brands of today, including Hanifa, Homage Year, and Felloons, Gregory has shown a fluidity in fashion that includes being a former journalist and the current brand director at Theophilio. The next article is titled The Hair Necessities. The next cosmetic surgery for black men. There is a new option for when the waves fade. My mother and father made sure I had a haircut every week, says YouTuber Jackson Cooper at Coop's Corner. Having a clean cut is literally a part of my makeup. Black men's bond with a fresh cut can cause some to be distressed when they notice thinning hair. In comparison to 40% of women, 86% of men may experience hair loss for reasons ranging from androgenetic alopecia to stress or an illness. It's why, despite a plethora of hair growth products on the market, hair transplants have become a trending procedure as a growing number of men try to regain the hairline of their youth. Hair transplants date back to Japan in the 1930s, with procedural advances made in the mid-1990s. Today, the process is broken down into two methods: follicular unit transplantation, FUT, and follicular unit extraction, FUE. During FUT, the surgeon will redraw the hairline before cutting a strip from the back of the scalp, removing the follicles to find a donor match, and then placing them on bald spots. While FUT is a quicker procedure than FUE, the second method removes and displaces follicles from all over the head rather than cutting a strip. There are advantages to both procedures. FUT is a cheaper option and best for those who need to cover large areas or want a shorter operation time. FUE is less painful and has a quicker healing time. And with FUE, hair from other parts of the body may also be used. The average cost of either procedure ranges from $5,000 to $20,000 based on your surgeon and your method choice. YouTuber Joseph, quote unquote, Joe Randall of Good Life Joe, like fellow vlogger Cooper, decided to document every stage of his hair transplant journey. For New York native Randall, the story began when he noticed a few bald patches in his 20s. Losing his hair affected his confidence and took a heavy mental toll. After hearing about celebrities undergoing the procedure, he began investigating it as an option for himself. In Cooper's case, being a social media personality meant his hair appearance mattered. Randall and Cooper garnered more than 60,000 subscribers combined, and their viewers tuned in for their post-surgery transformations. "I felt like there weren't enough black men posting about it," says Randall. "I figured I could give people a good experience as well as good information surrounding a topic that warrants general sensitivity for black men and women. A hair transplant isn't always easy to arrange. Black dermatologists account for only 3% of all doctors in the specialty in the United States, making it a challenge for those who would rather turn to their own community for the procedure. And Christian Bysanga, MD, a Belgium-based specialist, estimates that fewer than 50 dermatologists worldwide can conduct an afro-textured hair transplant to the highest standard. The varied texture of black hair, from tighter coils to thicker strands, greatly affects how the transfer of follicles is performed and the potential for hyperpigmentation. Do your research and take your time, because with hair transplants, you only have a finite amount of hair grafts to use for the procedure, says Randall. Finding a place you feel safe and trust is imperative. It should also be noted that hair transplants are not a single procedure, but can be split into two or more sessions. I've had 3 transplants so far, says Cooper. It typically takes till around the 6-month mark to see a result. At month 12, you have a pretty good gauge of what you'll look like. Immediately after the procedure, your head may feel sore, irritated, or itchy. According to both Randall and Cooper, a surgeon may prescribe finasteride and minoxidil, optional medications used to keep the hair intact. It's also recommended that the hair be kept oiled for moisture. Both YouTubers described the procedure as minimally invasive, with pain lasting no more than 3 minutes. For Black men and women, your hair is a reflection of your self-expression, says Randall. Growing up, I had waves, and sometimes I wore my hair longer and curly. But regardless of the style, my hair was tied to my self-affirmation. When I began to lose my hair, I felt like I lost a portion of myself and needed to reinvent who I was, not only to the public, who knew nothing of what I was going through, but to myself. Hair loss is a global reality for men of all ages. Whether you're on the fence about getting a hair transplant or actively considering it, both Cooper and Randall would recommend the surgery. I feel like I see the man in the mirror I grew up with and learned year by year, says Randall. That nostalgia and reconnection to self has been priceless. I can grow my hair out again, cut it and brush it, and it's nice to know it's not going anywhere for now. The next article is titled Men in the Mirror. These founders are changing the face of entrepreneurship, starting with themselves. Providing access and opportunities for Black business owners is more critical than ever. The New Voices Foundation, a sister company of Essence Ventures, remains committed to decreasing the many resource gaps for entrepreneurs of color. Here, we highlight 3 members of our New Voices family who are paving the way for the next generation. Sanj Laron Squire. Laron, 38, thought finishing law school and entering the workforce was the dream, until he and his now business partner, Dave Solvant, realized they wanted more. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.